Right, so we want to get at your Bible there. You might want to open your Bible to Psalm 43. And while you're there, get your bookmark out so that you can follow along as well this morning as we open the Word. So let's just pray for the Word just as we open it this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, through our worship. Father, in the quiet, still voice, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your Word. So, Father, we open our hearts, Lord, and say, Lord, have your way, Lord, and speak to us. Lord, change us today, Lord. We don't want to hear another message today, Lord. We want to hear life, Lord, that changes us. And Father, Lord, we determine, Lord, that we are going to listen, Lord, and apply the things that you speak to us today. So, Father, we open our hearts to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We've been looking at that aspect, and we know that our theme, the church, we're Grow Church. We're knowing that we're growing God, that we're releasing ministry, outreaching globally, worshipping together. This year our theme has been grow. And so we've been looking at that across this year. We're looking at worshipping together. I had a fantastic week with Pastor Pat last week, a powerful time in God. Praise God. But we've been looking at worship and worshipping together. And we started off by talking about how worship, we know that is a lifestyle, that worship is a walk. We said that worship is a journey, that when we gather corporately together, there's a journey in God that he wants us to take us to. And I just ask you, did you end up where God wanted you to be this morning in our time of corporate worship? Or did you stay as we came in the door? Did you get to where God was leading us today? Because we went to a fantastic place in worship. And if you're saying, well, I didn't get that, I missed it, then you missed out on the journey this morning. And I encourage you to be involved. We're involved in corporate worship. It's a journey. We learnt that. We talked about that as we gather together, we are building something. We are that spiritual temple that God has called us together. We're living as living stones that God has called together, that we're building a spiritual temple for worship under God. And that as we're worshiping joined together, that's what God is doing among us. We said, don't be out there like a little stone on its own. Don't be a single stone out there. Because it's cold and lonely when you're a stone out there. Don't come and be a pile of rocks. Just rock in, chuck your rock in, and then take it out. You pile in, pile out again. But actually be connected in, join your hearts with your brothers and sisters. Be a part of building something, that spiritual temple for the living God. And we talked about that. I want to talk about the object of our affection, the one that we worship, the one that we live for. I want to talk about in the Lord, to delight in the Lord. There's a scripture there, Psalm 43, verse 4, but I also want to read verse 5. Verse 4 is on the screen, verse 5 is on your Bible. So if you can't find verse 5, look at your Bible. It says in verse 4, it says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I want you to remember that word, delight. He's my God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. But to God, my God, and my delight. Verse 5, it says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for yet I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And if you're downcast or struggling today, I pray that God is going to speak to you today, and that God will talk to you to the deepest core of your being. God will change you today. If you've missed out on the journey of worship today, we'll say, well, I'm not going to miss it as we gather with our brothers and sisters tonight in Altona. We're not going to miss that. But I'm not going to miss that any week. I'm going to be a part of it, and I'm going to go on that journey of worship together. But if your soul is downcast, ask yourself today, why are you downcast, O my soul? And I want to talk about delighting in the Lord, to delight in him. Now, people take delight in all sorts of things. Delight is, it means to have extreme pleasure in something. Something that gives you not just pleasure, but extreme pleasure. Extreme pleasure is when we talk about delight. Something that gives joy, immense satisfaction. And the psalmist is writing and talking, saying, my God and my delight, in you I find extreme pleasure, not just pleasure, not just a good time. I find extreme pleasure, an incredible joy, not a happiness which is based on happenings, but a joy which comes from within. And my God, the one who gives me total satisfaction. Now, people try to find delight in many different things, and things captivate them. What captivates you? What do you do, or what are you doing when you're not really thinking of all of the problems and all the worries and things? People in the world get a delight in all sorts of things. Some of them delight in a pokey, and they sit in front of a machine and just feed with a numb brain. It's no real delight. It's just the brain goes dead as they're just feeding coin after coin after coin and seeing everything just squandered away. People delight in that kind of thing. People delight in alcohol. They just keep drinking and just keep drinking and they just don't, nothing seems to matter anymore, and off they go. And life becomes a destructive spiral in the process. But it talks about finding delight, extreme pleasure in God. I just want to ask you for a moment, do you find that? Can you say, in all honesty, I find extreme pleasure in my God, that there's nothing more satisfying, nothing more captivating, nothing that gets my attention and my focus than to be in the presence of my God, that my delight is in God? We sing many songs like that. I delight in you, Lord. We sing so many songs about delighting in God. But is He truly our delight? Does He give such a joy, such a happiness, such a pleasure in your heart, in your life? When we're gathered here corporately, as we know that worship is a walk and it's a journey when we are together corporately, we know those things. We know ultimately worship is a lifestyle, a life that is surrendered and dedicated under God. We know that. But did you find delight this morning? Was He the delight of your heart this morning as we gathered together and honored Him? We had an incredible sense of, but some were being exhorted, raise your hands and your heart. If you're delighting in God, if He's your delight, if something is delightful for you, you don't need exaltation. You've got this beautiful mouth-watering chocolate cake in front of you. You don't need a cheering squad to say, come on, eat the cake, eat the cake. It's beautiful. Come on, come on, take the cake. Look at the icing. Look at the succulent taste. You don't need a cheering squad to get you to eat that piece of chocolate cake. You just delight in it, and it's something that is delightful for you. If God is truly your delight, you don't need that encouragement or exhortation. If you find extreme pleasure in something, you don't need anybody to encourage you to do that, do you? You don't need encouragement to have extreme pleasure, good extreme pleasure. You don't need that encouragement. But if God is our delight, then we don't need that exhortation. We don't need that encouragement. Is God the delight of your heart? Because if He's not this morning, you're missing out on something incredible in life. You may have your salvation, but it's far more than just our salvation. It's to know the delight, my joy and my delight. The word delight, it's even we get the word delicious. Something is delicious. Now think of the most delicious thing you can think of. What's your favorite, most delicious, succulent, tasty, beautiful dish that you like? You all got hungry, haven't you? My stomach actually started groaning, rumbling. Even as I'm telling you that. But think of something. When you're eating that, just tastes so nice, succulent, tender, sweet, whatever it is. Something absolutely delicious. And I said again, you don't need any encouragement to have your favorite meal, do you? No one has to get alongside you and say, look, taste it, it's really good. You know that. It's my favorite meal. I'm in there and I'm eating it nicely, but no, not quite like this. Because you don't need that encouragement. But if the Lord is something that delights, and there's even a sense, the word, the actual word, there's a sense of alluring, to be drawn in, to be allured by something that is delightful. Is God truly the delight of your heart? Is He honestly the delight of your heart? Is there an extreme pleasure when you're in the presence of God and when you're just loving Him and you're just knowing how much He loves you and it just touches your heart? Is God the delight of your heart? Because if He's the delight of your heart, you know how to worship Him. Not just when we gather corporate worship, but everyday life worship, because He is the delight of your heart. Is God the delight of your heart? Some of us need a reminder about delighting in God, because we forget who He is and we forget what He's done. And the Scripture encourages us to take delight in our salvation, to delight in the salvation that He gave us. There's a Scripture in Isaiah 61:10. You can read that on the screen, and it says this. It says, I delight greatly in the Lord. Can you say that this morning? I delight greatly in the Lord. I greatly delight in the Lord. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. I delight greatly in my Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. See, if we truly understand and really appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, when he died on the cross in your place for your sins and my sins, the things that we've done. And if we understand what he saved us from, then we would be so delighted in him. But some of us don't really have a concept of what he saved us from. We had a need and we needed God. We needed something in our life and we came to him. But if we understood what he has saved us from, we would be so grateful, so delighting in him every moment of every day. And if you just picture hell, not many people talk about hell, but hell is a pretty horrible place. It's a place the scripture talks about of eternal torment, of being a fire. Just imagine being on fire. Now, some of you have burnt your little pinky, and it hurts. You burn your pinky, it hurts. Some have burnt a hand or a finger. Some have had other burns, which are horrible things to be burnt. But imagine your whole body is in constant flaming fire for eternity, that agony. That's the idea of really what it's like, the total separation, the total isolation of it is to be in hell. But we have an incredible salvation that has delivered us, because we deserve that punishment, that separation from God, but we've been saved from that by our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And not only is there the absence of agony, the absence of torment, the absence of pain, but in place of that is the wonder and the splendor of intimacy with the Creator in heaven and earth, who gives us all things freely and has given us the promise of eternal life. And then we can remember our salvation, how we were delighting God. Lord, you saved me from that. You saved me from myself, but you saved me from my sin and you saved me from judgment. Lord, I delight in you. I delight in you. And talks about, tells us here that he's clothed us with garments of salvation. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, all our good deeds are like filthy rags before the Lord. You try to be a good person. You try to do a good thing. You try to be the good people and good enough to get to God. And the Bible says, the good in us of our own self, the good things that we do, as noble and as commendable as they may be, in the sight of a holy and righteous God, it says those things are like filthy rags. So being a good person is never going to cut it for us to get to heaven, to get to God, to find that salvation. It's only because of what Jesus Christ has done in us. And so we should delight in the salvation. When you come here and you think, well, I'm going through a hard time, I want to talk about some of those things this morning, about when you're going through struggles, because we go through struggles. But how do you get through that? You won't get through that if the Lord is not your delight. The very thing that you're going through will be the thing that tears you down if the Lord is not your delight. And people get down emotionally and they live in a down place because they don't delight in the Lord. They know God and they know of his love, but not the delight. If you delight in God, you can never go through an extended time of being lost. You go through difficult times and sometimes we feel, God, where are you? What's happening? But you'll never live in such a place because you remind yourself, hang on, I have a Lord who loves me. I have an incredible salvation and something rises in you. Some of the Psalms are like that. It starts off, oh, woe is me. But then I remembered my Lord and then our heart is lifted up before him. It says in Psalm 35, verse 9, it says, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. The fact that we are sons and daughters of the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, is the thing that will cause a delight in our hearts. What a wonderful thing it is to be a son or a daughter of the living God. What a wonderful thing that God has chosen you, that God himself has put his seal upon our hearts and upon our lives. What an amazing thing it is, and that we can rejoice in that, but we delight in him. We delight in him. My soul rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. Always remember the salvation you have. Never take it for granted what the Lord has done for us. We've had communion this morning and it reminded us of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for each and every one of us. And if you can take that, oh, here's my bicky, here's my drink, and there's nothing going on in your spirit, I encourage you just to re-engage your spirit with the Lord and delight in him and say, Lord, thank you for this salvation. Thank you for what it means. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my heart, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in my life. And thank you for the hope and the future that I have in Jesus Christ. To delight in the Lord. And the kind of delight that we're talking about is not just an emotional thing. And that word came through this morning about that's not an emotional love. And we're not talking about that. It's actually beyond that. But it encompasses our emotions. Our emotions are involved in that, but it involves everything in us. We're talking about a delight that is in the soul. Because sometimes we'll go through difficult times and we might struggle in our thoughts and think, oh, but there's a delight, there's something deeper in our heart. It's actually a delight that's of the soul. And let's have a look at Isaiah 55 verse 2. It'll come up again on the screen. It says, why spend money on what is not bread? And you labor on what does not satisfy. People work so hard, so hard. And we need to live. You need to earn a living. But it says, totally expend yourself on all of that to make that the priority of your heart and your life. Why spend money on what is not bread? Buying things, doing things, doing all this stuff. But deep down, there's something that is not really satisfying. Something that's still missing within the heart. It says, why spend money on what is not bread? And you labor on that which doesn't satisfy, because it really doesn't touch the deepest part of our life. It doesn't touch our soul, the deepest part. It says, listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. And so there's something of the things of God. If we feast on the things of God, if we draw on the things of God, and we delight in God with all our heart, loving Him, yearning for Him, then something is happening in our deepest part. Our soul will delight. Our soul will delight. Some people end up with a very weary soul. And you may physically be wide awake, and things may seem to be going good on the outside, but some people, there's just a weariness in their soul, something deep within them, and they know that there's something not right. They know that there's something is really missing. They love the Lord, they've given their heart to the Lord, and they believe in Him and know His love, but He's not really the delight of their lives. Is He the delight of your life this morning? Are you totally captivated by the Lord? When we come in times of worship, are you captivated by Him at home? Do you delight in? Do you find extreme pleasure? Or is it a ritual? Or is it a duty? Or is it a chore? Or is it a delight? To delight in God. To delight in Him. It says your soul will delight in the richest affair. When we put Him first, we eat what is good. We take of the things of God. We feed ourselves with the Word of God. We fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray. We cry out to Him. It says your soul will delight. That deepest part of your being that nothing else that you ever do can touch. If you allow the Lord to touch us, it tells us to come and our soul will delight. The beginning of that passage, Isaiah 55, is an invitation. It says, come. Come all you who are thirsty, come. It says, come to me. And come to me. And as we come to the Lord and we take of Him, then our soul begins to delight in Him. And there's a sense of meaning in our lives that otherwise we would not have. Many people spend a lot of times doing a whole lot of stuff that at the end of the day, it really doesn't have a lot of meaning for them. And it doesn't touch the deepest part of their lives. I'm amazed that even Christians, the things that they try to fill themselves up with in some ways too, that really don't touch that. And God wants us to delight in Him, not in those other things. To have a heart that is truly His. Psalm 119:28 says, it says, my soul is weary with sorrow. Have you ever had a weary soul? The soul go beyond just your emotions. The soul is your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions. It's not the eternal aspect of us in terms of our spirit or our heart, as the scripture says. Sometimes the word heart in the scripture encompasses soul as well. Our whole being, sometimes the word heart is used in the scripture. But my soul is weary. And there's a weariness that can come on people that is beyond a physical thing. It's beyond an emotional stress or pressure. It's something far deeper, something more fundamental that happens within the heart. And some of you may come here today with a weary soul. And my encouragement to you today is I want to spend some time praying with us today, because God wants you to have a heart that delights in Him. And a heart that delights in God actually will be able to focus and change, go through life differently, that you do not become overcome and overwhelmed in things. We all go through struggles. Not a person here, not one person here that doesn't have any struggles in their life, doesn't face challenges, issues. You know, every one of us does that. But if we delight in the Lord, then we are going to be able to come through those things. It says, my soul is weary with sorrow. And some of you may be feeling that today. It's not a physical tiredness, but maybe it's a tiredness that goes to the core of your being. Maybe you're just fed up You're sick to death of circumstances, of a situation, and it's just something deep within you. Well, if you delight in the Lord can touch you and lift you in that place. It says, strengthen me according to your word. The word itself will strengthen us as we read the word of God, as we listen to the word of God. It will strengthen us as we get the things of God. Are we strengthened in the soul? But strengthen me according to your word. And if there's a weariness that's in your own heart and your own soul today, I encourage you to allow the Lord to be the delight of your life. You delight in the Lord, delight in him. He will be that strength for your life, to delight in him, to be fully engaged in him. Is the Lord the delight of your heart? Is the Lord the delight of your heart? Only you will answer that. Only you know that deep down. You'll know that. Only you will know, yes, he is the delight of my heart. Because I have extreme pleasure in my God. When I'm with my God, that there's nothing more important upon this earth. Nothing matters. Nothing is more precious. Nothing is more special. But there's nothing else other than to love our Lord. It totally fills us, captivates our heart when we delight in the Lord. Is the Lord the delight of your heart? Because when the Lord is the delight of your heart, you begin to see life differently. You begin to see the struggles differently. As I said, we all go through struggles. Every one of us goes through struggles, and sometimes they're harder, and we can't say, well, your struggle, you think you've got a struggle, listen to my struggle. Well, everyone struggles their struggle. It's a struggle for them, whether you think it is or not. The reality is they've got an issue. Now, by struggle, I don't mean that they're getting defeated or overcome by it, but there's a challenge, there's an issue that we face. But when the Lord is our delight, we process everything differently. Pastor John, around communion, he read the scripture about our light and momentary troubles. You think, well, your troubles might be light and momentary, but you've got to hear what I'm going through. No, well, in context of what Christ has done and in context of eternity and in a heart that delights in God and understands what it is to be so in love with him, to delight in God, then the problems really do seem to be those light and momentary troubles. They don't overwhelm us. They don't destroy us. And they don't crush us. And we may go through something, yeah, well, okay, I had a hard day today. But it doesn't destroy you. You don't live in that. You don't live in a depressed state all the time. Woe is me. Because that's not the life that Christ has called us to live, a victorious life. But if you don't delight in God, then your problems will overwhelm you and will consume you. And many people live in that because the Lord is not truly their delight. Doesn't mean they don't love the Lord. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about loving God. I'm talking about finding a true delight, extreme pleasure in God, in his person and in his presence, to find that pleasure. But as we do that, as we see those things in God, as the Lord truly is our delight, we see things differently in life. So have a look at Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. This is a scripture. It's prophetic. It's concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about the root of Jesse. It talks about the branch. It's prophetic passage talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's speaking of him, but also of us who are becoming more and more like Christ every day. Part of the journey that we're on is we're becoming Christ-like, to be like Christ in our behavior, in our responses, in our reactions, that we become like Christ. How would he respond to this challenge? How would he react to this circumstance, to what the person said or to what they did or what happened or what did happen, to be Christ-like? And if we begin to delight in God, we begin to see things in life differently. Isaiah 11, 2 and 3, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Now, it's prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ. But the same Holy Spirit that was upon Christ is the same Holy Spirit that is upon each and every one of us who is called upon the name of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. How we need wisdom, how we need understanding as we face things in life. The Spirit of counsel, to know what to do. So many people, oh, I don't know what to do in this situation. Well, allow the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. Don't be looking for the guidance of man. Look for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of counsel and of power in our lives, that we are a powerful people. And it says, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. talks about one delighting in the Lord. So full of God, so full of His Holy Spirit upon your life. Because when you're delighting in God, then you are full of His Spirit. You're full of power in His life. The Holy Spirit is so real and so strong in our hearts and our lives as we delight. And He will delight in the fear of the Lord. Not in fear as in the sense of fear of punishment, but in the sense of God, you are holy. That sense of reverence, the sense of awe. God, you are amazing. Lord, you are so wonderful. And yet, God, you love me. You love me. You love me. How can you love me? Lord, I delight in you. Lord, you love me. The delight of my heart, the delight of my life. And I know that the Spirit of God is upon him. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Do you delight in the fear of the Lord today? Do you delight in him? Is he delight? Because the Holy Spirit rests upon you. And it is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel. And he is the Spirit of power upon our lives, the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit rests upon your life. And so if you say, oh, I find it hard to delight in the Lord, well, you know, the Holy Spirit is within us. The Scripture tells us His Spirit within us cries out and says, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God is within you crying out. It's easier to delight in the Lord because His Spirit is within you and rising up within you. And so you can delight in Him. You remember with your own mind, He is my salvation, what He's done for me. I delight in that, my Savior. But the Spirit of God rises in our hearts and we delight in Him. Do you delight in the Lord this morning? Is He the delight of your life? Because you've been overwhelmed and overcome in your circumstances. Then I encourage you to say, Lord, I want you to be the delight of my heart. I'm saved, praise God. I love you, praise God. But Lord, I want you to be the total captivating thought, Lord. I want you to be the thing that consumes me, Lord. I want you to be the things that's my focus, my attention, the thing that I draw life from, substance from, identity from, Lord, hope from, everything from. Lord, I want to be consumed by you, Lord. I want you to fill me, Lord, in every way to overflowing, Lord. For you are my joy, Lord. You're my delight. You're the only thing that will ever satisfy me. The only thing that will ever satisfy me. The only thing that will ever fill me, the only thing that will ever make me complete. That is the delight of the Lord, and it stirs in your heart as you allow the Holy Spirit even to rise in your own heart. You remember with your mind the salvation that you have. You say, Lord, I delight in my salvation, Lord. But the Spirit of God also, which rests upon you, would rise within your heart and with your spirit. And it says this, and we delight in the fear of the Lord. It says, He will not judge by what He sees or decide by what he hears with his ears. How many of us do that? We decide things by what we see. This is the thing that we see. Well, this is happening. This is my response. This is happening. This is my reaction. And we respond with things out of what we see. That's how we deal with stuff. What this has happened, then this is my response. And so we deal with things in reaction, reacting to the things. All the things that we heard, so-and-so said this. You said that, so da-da-da. Or we look at circumstances and we decide everything based on what we're seeing with our own eyes. Now, God gave you a brain and it's a great thing to use it. Use the brain that he gave you, but never let it be a substitute for being led of his spirit. And I get super spooky and go to your wardrobe and say, Lord, is it the pink one or the green one today? All right, so we'll pray for you because you need a lot of prayer if you go off the planet like that. But you're led by the things of God in life. The decisions, the choices that you make are not based on what you see or what you hear or even what you feel. It's the counsel of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit within us. And if you delight in the Lord, that is your portion. It's the pleasure that you gain from him, just being with him, it's the beauty in itself. That's better than the chocolate cake. It's beautiful. But the icing, if you like, is to know God to lead us in our lives and in his spirit. So that you're going through a hard time. Oh, what am I going to do? Woe is me. And we make a decision and we make based on our circumstances and what's happening. We do it by our eyes and by what we hear rather than the counsel of the Lord. But we delight in the fear of the Lord. And know that his spirit is upon us. Never make a decision in life that's of any significance or importance that you haven't got the counsel of the Lord upon it. And that doesn't mean coming and ringing up a pastor and saying, what should I do? It doesn't mean that. Now, there's a confirmation may come from that, but it comes from going to the living God yourself on your own knees, crying out to God, Lord, and say, show me, Lord, show me this. Now, sometimes you may do that and say, well, I've asked God and he's not telling me anything. Well, I ask you, do you delight yourself in the Lord? Do you delight yourself in the Lord? Or just easy come, easy go, every day is just the same, no Lord in there, just rock up on church on Sunday, do your bit, yeah, maybe you read it, but there's not the delight in there. And you will find it hard to hear from God if he's not your delight. You will struggle to hear from him. Because if he's not your delight, the problems will captivate you. You're trying to get the answer, but the answer is bigger than the one you're trying to get the answer. The problem is bigger than the one you're trying to get the answer from. So how can you hear? How can you get the answer when the problem itself seems bigger than the one you're trying to get the answer from? But if you're totally captivated, totally delighting in him, then he's able to give you the answer. But that's why sometimes we struggle. It's because we're not delighting in him. We're not captivated by him. That's why we can't hear what he's saying. It says, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it won't come up on the screen, but it says, we live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. This is for us. Do you live by sight? Your decisions are made by what is happening to us. Or is it because of the counsel of the Lord, the leading of the Lord, and because you delight in him? And I keep saying it isn't really that hard. People say it's hard to be a Christian. I disagree with that. It's hard to be a religious person. Impossible to be a religious person. It is death to try to be a religious person. To live under the law, to live under bondage, to live under rules and regulations, trying to meet an impossible standard, trying to be something that you're not, to do things that you can't do. It is death to you. That's the law. That is very hard. In fact, it's so hard it didn't work. That's why Christ came. And we're not under the law, that we're under grace. But if our delight is in the Lord, it really isn't that hard. Yes, we go through struggles. Yes, we go through difficulties. But they don't destroy us. They don't totally wipe us out. And yeah, we go. We're struggling at the moment. We go for maybe there's a day or two you're having a hard time. But you press through. You come up because the Lord is your delight and it doesn't overwhelm you. It doesn't destroy you. You don't live in that. And that's if we can delight in the Lord, we'll get through things. We don't have to have other things to take the place of the Lord in our lives, other things to try to fill a void that ultimately cannot touch. It says, why waste your money on things which cannot satisfy? Why do that? Why put all your labor into stuff that's not going to touch that deep place within your heart? It's the delight of the Lord that does it. That's what causes us to rise. We live by faith, not by sight. Not judged by what we see with the eyes, or decide by what we hear with the ears. But if we delight in the Lord, we can know his counsel. We can know what he wants us to do. We can know his answer in life. It's the delight of the soul. It's something deep I'm talking about today. Not just an intellectual thing. It goes beyond that. It's the delight of the soul to love him, to just find extreme pleasure, joy, delight, satisfaction in him. That you don't need anything else. Ultimately, you've got him and he gives us life. And as we begin to delight in the Lord actually gives us promises. There's wonderful promises. To delight in him is reward in itself. It's enough to have extreme pleasure in God. That in itself would be enough. That in itself would be the reward. Our salvation would be reward enough. Our salvation would be enough to last us for eternity. And it is. It will last for eternity. When we give our heart to Christ, we have that promise. But there's promises that he gives us here and now in this life for us. Let's read Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How many other desires that you have? Now, I'm not talking about worldly desires, but the strong desires of a godly believer are usually born of the Spirit of God. They're the things that God has implanted and impregnated within our heart and within our spirit. Those desires, whatever those desires are. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What are the desires of your heart this morning? What are the things that have seemed to eluded you? The promises, the prophetic words that maybe were spoken, the things that were there, that they seem like were there, but I just can't touch it. Well, I encourage you, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. What an incredible promise that is. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's an incredible promise. Delight yourself in Him. Delight yourself in Him. What are the dreams? What are the things that are in your own heart? The things that you've been longing for, crying out for, wanting desperately. Well, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. And so that's my encouragement, to delight in the Lord this morning. It says in John 15:7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, and that's delighting in the Lord, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Ask and it will be given you. Well, I asked. Well, maybe sometimes the answer is no. We know that. God can say no. He can say no. But if these are the desires born of the Spirit of God, He's never going to say no. If this is the desire that God has planted in your spirit, within your heart, a God-given, a God-made desire, He's not going to say no. It's His idea. It wasn't yours. It's His. He put it in your heart. So He's not going to say no. So why do I struggle? Why doesn't the thing that even if it is of God, it doesn't seem to come sometimes? Well, delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. And that's my encouragement this morning. I want to pray with us this morning because maybe some of us aren't delighting in the Lord to that extent. That we don't find extreme pleasure. In all honesty, when we come together here to worship, you're just going through it. As I said, if you're full on finding extreme pleasure in God, who He is, and loving Him and honoring Him, and remembering the wonderful salvation you have, it just flows out of your heart. It just comes out. And the problems, yeah, well, they don't overwhelm you. They're not the thing that's going through your mind because it's not stuck in your mind. Your soul rises up, your mind, your will, emotions, everything is finding joy, satisfaction, pleasure in the living God. Easy to worship God. Life becomes so much easier when you delight yourself in God. And the Holy Spirit leads us, He guides us, He gives us counsel. When you go through things, they don't destroy us, they don't overwhelm us because our delight is in the Lord. And He gives us the desires of our heart. What a wonderful thing that is. But maybe as you're sitting here this morning, you say, wow, you know, I love God, I know I'm saved and I love God. But maybe if you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe if you haven't come into His eternal kingdom, you don't know what it is to find the greatest pleasure of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't learned what it is to find the meaning of life, to know what it is to be free from the curse of hell and sin and to have that washed away from your life. Well, then maybe today is the day for salvation, as was again said at communion today for you. Maybe you need to come out the front and say, I need Jesus in my life. I need that in my life. I try to fill all this junk, all this stuff, but the deep place in my heart only God can touch. I want Him to touch it, and that's you this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, yeah, well, look, you know, I know I'm saved and yeah, I love God, but is He the delight of my life? Is He the one that just captivates every thought? Do I find extreme pleasure in His presence and in His person? Does something rise within me? Does He change me? Does it just, the wonder and the glory of His presence, is it there for me? Do I find His counsel, His leading, the prompting of His Spirit? Is that there in my life? Or when I pray, I find it so hard just to hear God or even sense Him. Do you have strong desires in your heart? Think, never going to happen, Lord. But God put it there, so He's not going to say no to what He put there. So maybe, in all honesty, He's not really the delight of your heart. I'm not saying you don't love God. Not about loving Him, not talking about salvation. But if you don't know Jesus, then you need to get that right. You need to come to Him and know the salvation of Jesus Christ. But I want to pray, in all honesty, you say, Lord, I love You, yes, but in terms of delighting in You, well, maybe that's something I haven't really come into yet. And I've allowed the circumstances of my life, the problems, the struggles to overwhelm me. And so therefore, Lord, I'm not finding that extreme pleasure, that joy in You. I believe God wants to touch you this morning. So I'm going to give an invitation just as we sing this. We're going to sing this very quietly. So we maybe turn everything down very quietly this morning. But I want to pray for you. Everyone, let's stand. And give you the invitation to come forward this morning and pray. You're struggling in your illness. You're struggling in your relationship. You're struggling in your finances. You're struggling in your circumstances. And we go through things, but it's almost overwhelming, then you need to come and say, Lord, I want to find my delight in you this morning. If you go through the motions religiously and you do the stuff, but something's not really happening, then you need to come today. Allow the Lord to be that delight in your heart and life. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to give an invitation to come. And we're going to pray for you this morning. So let's open our hearts. Father, we come before you. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your heart towards us. Lord, that you are the creator of heaven and earth. The creator of heaven and earth, Lord, the creator of the universe. Lord, that you're the one of so amazingly awesome, powerful being, Lord. You're the substance, the author of life, Lord. Everything is from you and for you and to you, Lord. Lord, let you love us. Lord, you love us with such a passion. You love us to the death. Lord, that Jesus Christ died for us, Lord. What a salvation we have. And Father, I pray for every person this morning. Lord, if that delight is not upon our hearts, Lord, upon our mind, our spirit, our emotions, Lord, from the depths of our being, Lord, I pray, Lord, that Lord, there'll be a revelation of that this morning. Lord, I pray that your spirit will rise up and cry out, Abba, Father, Lord. There'll be something that'll stir and change in our hearts today. Lord, that we don't have to be told to raise our hands and to engage in worship because we delight in you, Lord. You're delightful for us, Lord. There's a joy in us and there's a joy in being with you and to honor you, Lord, every day, Lord. It's not a chore. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, for that touch now in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe God wants many to come this morning. We're going to pray at the oversight to come and we're going to pray for you this morning. So you make your way. Don't hesitate this morning. If you're offered a choice, something choice this morning, don't hesitate. Don't muck around. You don't need a cheering squad to come and find the delight in the Lord this morning. So make your way quickly out the front. Don't muck around. Come quickly to the front this morning. I believe there's many people here this morning. Many people that need to come. So come now. Don't wait for the singing. We'll make your way forward. We're going to pray with you this morning. We're going to pray with you. God's going to do something almighty today. Allow him to come and overwhelm your heart and your life this day. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.